whether it's the Consumer Protection Act, whether it's the Companies Act, as long as that law, that act, has basically over or what's the word I'm looking for, is applicable to the way in which you're doing business, you need to observe that. But overall, the Code of Ethics actually endeavors to manage the relationship between direct sellers, their sales representatives, and more importantly, the general public. And one of the specific and very explicit provisions of that Code of Ethics states that a direct seller may not use misleading, deceptive, or unfair sales practices. And all of that is done not only in terms of protecting our industry and making sure that people understand that we are legit, we're professional, and we are, everything we do is above board. The general public needs to be protected. It's because every single day there is some TikTok stock file that's popping up somewhere trying to rob people of their hard-earned income. And we took it upon ourselves to make sure that we champion not just our industry, but we also at the same time try to protect the interests of the public as we go about our business. And that essentially has been what our public relations and reputation management campaign been focused on over the past couple of years. Thank you very much, Lee.
Thank you, Shawnee. And I just want to add that when the results came out last week from Stats SA and Bloomberg around the dire situation we're finding ourselves from an economic GDP perspective, and that, again, the Direct Selling Association went very public around their stance on how we can be part of that solution as part of the media outreach. So when Shawnee speaks about a campaign that perhaps took flight last year, and it's an ongoing campaign where we consistently engage the media around things of relevance that impact the industry, as well as positive indicators about taking the industry forward in light of what is emerging in the South African economy. So we are becoming part and parcel of that broader conversation in South Africa around achieving greater economic goals. So in terms of the work we've done, Che, as I did say in the beginning of my segment, is that, you know, this has been a journey, and now we're at the apex point of this journey. This journey in terms of engaging the Ministry of Small Business Development, as well as the various people within the department, has been an ongoing journey for the past at least 2 years, from a strategy perspective to try and understand where do we fit in as the direct selling industry in South Africa. Is it a hybrid approach or positioning between the Department of Trade and Industry and Small Business Development, or do we sit snugly under one ministry, etc.? And we've had several engagements with both Trade and Industry as well as the Small Business Development Department, and the reasoning was, well, we think you sit within our portfolio as small business. Given the fact that you've got this multiplier effect on small businesses, your distributors themselves are perceived to be and are operating and are entrepreneurs, i.e. small business owners, and therefore we feel that given who you are, the nature of your business, your distributor model, etc., you fit within our purview. And that was good to know, because it's taken us quite a journey to get to that point where there's been a realization within government in terms of where we actually reside. But that was the first point, Chair. The second point that is still needs to be clarified and discussed is, so what? Now that we know where we fit in, what does it mean for us under the banner of small business development? What opportunities can we extrapolate, take forward, and ensure that our independent small business owners are aware of those opportunities, even the multinationals, the 28 companies currently in South Africa supporting the efforts of these 850,000 small business owners. And we don't have an answer yet there, Chair. It's still a work in progress. There were a few programs that were put forth by the Department of Small Business for our consideration, but unfortunately it didn't fit who we are in terms of ensuring that we are able to add value as well as leverage the opportunities as discussed with the Department of Small Business Development. A large part of that focus was around funding mechanisms around localization, which we touched on in our discussions with the Department of Small Business Development. And we see this as a starting point for a proper and effective relationship, where we can actually extrapolate the right kind of value from the industry. And that can only be achieved, Chair, if we understand the industry, the complexities of the industry, and how the industry can then support the end game for the economy. But without this understanding and appreciation, the opportunity may be lost. And that's our concern, is that we need to get to a point where we co-create an opportunity that may derive from within the sector to benefit not only the sector, but South Africa as a whole. And that's really why we're here today, to say that we've walked this journey and we're now at this point, at the apex point, where we're now engaging you on who we are, so that we can extrapolate the correct value from the industry itself. We've touched on the multiplier effect that runs into millions and millions of rands every year. We support not just our distributors, but the extended families, as well as other suppliers to the industry and vendors, etc. So our presence is meaningful. Next slide, please. And Chair, this brings us to what we've been doing over the past 18 to 24 months of our engagement. I've traversed that now, so we won't spend too much time on the slide, but we've been engaging within the setting quite constructively. Even at the provincial level for Gauteng, through Invest SA, we've had some discussions and deliberations through GGDA. We've also engaged the Department of Trade and Industry, who welcomed the engagement and also indicated that there's definitely an opportunity to ensure that you know, it's not lost on them in terms of the foreign direct investment component, as well as the downstream value that we add from a small business development opportunity perspective. We've also gone as far as engaging Productivity SA, because even though they are focusing on manufacturing and those sorts of industries, you know, the service industry is an industry that must not be forgotten about when one looks at a holistic approach to arrest our economic situation. So on that perspective, the Productivity SA welcomed the engagement and also said that, you know, in time to come, there may be opportunities for co-creation of programs and projects, especially as it relates to the upskilling of people and, of course, you know, wearing an entrepreneurial hat. They saw that as an opportunity in order to get South Africa working again. So there too, they're looking even outside of their current scope to say, you know, what else can be done to get South Africa productive.
Trust, and I'll highlight the fact that I hope you note of the demographics that are achieving immense that's the demographic that needs us the most right now. And, you know, I just wanted to underline that. And on that note, that does bring us to the end of our formal presentation and look forward to using the remaining time as an opportunity to engage and clarify any questions or thoughts or comments that you may have.
This is a question from Hanif Hendricks.
Thank you. Thank you, King. Can you again the what you call the agenda so that I'm able to
Yes,
Hanif.
Yes,
okay, checking again on time. Honorable members, here we are. It was a very long presentation, detailed one, interesting with lot of figures. We have learned a lot. But at the end, even if they didn't indicate that these are our recommendations, from my side, my sense is that the direct trading association is knocking at the door. They want to find out who can accommodate them. They want to know where do they fit in the society to make value and to have that partnership as indicated earlier on. But we really appreciate most especially the issue of employment and also the issue of percentage of women. Indeed, we don't know what to do now. If you are ill and you are trying all avenues to become better, your normal health, you happen to eat or to take any medication before you, because you don't know whether you will succeed or survive. So to me, this is a presentation which speaks to us as the portfolio committee, as I've indicated that it was long overdue. It's up to you, honorable members, to ask clarity questions. According to my view, This document is big, and it has got a lot of issues which to me they have got sense and they are valuable. It's something which we can't deal with it now, but to take it to our position and analyze it as the portfolio committee, it's ours to do oversight to our department. Fortunately, chairperson of BSA, as government, we have realized that issues of employment can be Department of Small Business alone cut across, as you have indicated that we have knocked to other doors, and we are ready to issue of the pandemic is dealing with us all in the country. So to be able to recover our economy back, we need to join hands. We appreciate the number of people that are being employed there, those are full-time and those are not. I think it's a good initiative which needs brains. I will now hand over to honorable members. You have listened. It was a long presentation, as I've indicated, with many speakers who can't recognize them, but you may recognize points. I will now invite hands for clarity seeking purposes. Think you will assist me to identify hands.
Yes, Chair, there's a hand from Mr. Hendricks. So far, just Mr. Hendricks. Is Mr. Hendricks? Honorable Lubengo.
Honorable Hendricks, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Parliamentary Constituency Office, having there 400 members of Parliament. This is the type of information that we need to take to our communities. Aldama will certainly, at our Mitchell's Plain office, take these opportunities to our constituency. Having said that, you know, direct selling has got a very, very, very bad name. Your stuff doesn't arrive, the quality is poor, the shipping expenses is very high, and we are very happy that there's a code of conduct. So we have to understand that people will be very hesitant to buy a product from someone that lives in the Rocklands, in Mitchell's Plain, or in Ayanga. And so they have to have the support of a very reputable organization behind them. Now that this organization has realized that the right place to be is with our portfolio committee and not other portfolio committees, we can start building a relationship so that they can match our requirements. I know that they would like us to meet their requirements, but maybe we can meet halfway. Doesn't work like that. So at the moment, Honorable Chair, you know we have 8 programs that we've worked on very hard, and it's important for the organization to look at our 8 programs together with the Small Business Development Department and see how they can add value. What excited me about the presentation is the reference to localization. Now that the top guns of the organization are before us, in a nutshell, they know that this is a presidential project, that the president has identified 1,000 products that can only be sold by people in the town. In the townships. Already some of these products are on the supermarkets. They've been given free shelf space. It's been listed. And as you know, if you want to have your product listed and shelf space in Pick and Pay on ShopRite, your R500,000 out of pocket. But we have many of our products of the 1,000 already listed. So to conclude, Honorable Chair, that is, we need the auditor association to look at, to get those products ring-fenced for the poor to get involved in, to sell, to get the rich from. So that is a type of input we have, and I hope that they will engage with parliamentary constituency offices throughout the country. There were all political parties, it doesn't matter who, that they will engage with Small Business Development Department, who has a niche elite group of people that wants to promote localization. So somehow or another there has to be a match. And I hope with your leadership, Honorable Chair, we can find that match. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable April.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, and to yourself and the department, and also to our guests this morning. Chairperson, some of us have been end users of direct selling associations, clients. I've particularly seen that they've got Herbalife there, and I know that I myself have been a client of that people, and I have seen how they operate. There is a lot of structure in terms of how they do their things, and I see a revolving of them being involved in the social media space, and they've got a lot of their strategy is working because it's reaching very many people. So I can tell you that I see them on the streets. That is a better way to put it. A chairperson, but however, I must say that I am not really impressed that we have only received the presentation now, not giving us a lot of time to interrogate the presentation by those associations and prepare ourselves to go into the nitty-gritties of what this would be. I mean, you cannot send a presentation at the time that you come to present to Parliament, and I think there must be a little bit of regard for the institution that the DSA is approaching in that. Please, you should at least give us the opportunity to send the things in time so that we could dissect, go into, and read through your presentation before you come in there. I think it's unfair on honourable members to be receiving a presentation of this magnitude, this big presentation that is well thought out, and I think that it's prepared well in advance for yourselves, and not be able to bring it this morning. You would see also that your videos didn't even play because there wasn't careful preparation, and in the next engagement, one would hope not to see the same. It is very unfortunate, and it is. It borders on being disrespectful. I've got about four questions I want to raise. Number one is, I would want to find out what does the association mean by self-regulation. When you say self-regulation, you mean you play only by the rules that you set for yourself, the setting that you have set out. And my second question is, how does the DSP deal with your member company that engage in unfair practices, like he was now saying that there's a very bad name for that itself or something. How do you deal with companies that engage in unfair practices? And is there some examples that you can show to us or tell us about how you deal with that? Like Honorable Ali said. My third question is, the majority of the members of the DSA are Black African women. Could the DSA also maybe provide us a similar breakdown of their members by contribution to overall, and can you maybe give us some indication there? My last question that is very important for me to know is, how did COVID-19 affect the DSA's membership turnover, and has the membership of the DSA made any applications to the Department of Small Business for assistance during the COVID-19 epidemic? I think I will end there.
Thank you, Honorable April. Honorable Bengo. I didn't raise the hand, Chair. All right. I will allow them to maybe. Do I
can have... I can bite again if there's no other hand, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you so much. My last question was, my question was, how did your members apply for funding from the grant that has been made available after COVID-19? I would also like to check, is there any of your members that suffered impact during the routine that has happened? Is there any of your members that has suffered the loss during the recent routine that has happened? Next question is, the SMMEs generally suffer from high failure rates. What is the survival rate of the direct sellers? What is the longevity in the business? And what is the failure rate of the businesses under the DSA umbrella? What is also the employment, kind of employment that they Next question is, what steps do you think they can take to take a point about the people like Foxconn? Do you expect to be engaged with
the cloning of accounts about those things that is currently out there in the market? And last, the DSA's view, what role can Parliament play? You came to Parliament this morning, what is it that you, the chairperson said you came to knock? But
now the answer is the door is open. So now, after the door is open, now the question is, what is the role of Parliament in the grand strategy? What role do you want us to play when you're talking about partnership? What do you want?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Program
Secom in this regard. With regards to a question that was specific around self-regulation, when we talk about self-regulation is governed by both the World Federation of DSA, which is a global entity body. And it's a significant amount of code of conduct things for posting that need to comply with, which is also at a local level. We look at policies such as the Consumer Protection Act and various other policies and legislation that govern the work that we do in self-regulation. And in order to be a member company, there's a very rigorous due diligence process that each member company needs to go through in order to be granted membership status at the DSA. Closely linked to that, the question that was asked was also what happens in the case of companies who do not comply or not comply with regards to our code. Once again, there's a process that we follow, and some of the sanctions may be as far as actually retracting membership at the DSA. So it just depends on the nature of the transgression, and we then handle that appropriately within the code of conduct that is available. So that speaks to unfair practices. Some of the additional requests with regards to, we mentioned the Black African woman, the question or the request was contribution to overall revenue and what that looks like. So we're happy to provide additional detail in that space. There was also a question with regards to the impact of COVID on the DS industry and, did member companies or distributors in particular apply for funding? So at a very high level, quickly, what we found with COVID is that as households began losing income, either through reduction in salaries or incomes or job losses, we found more and more people turning to our industry, especially the younger folk who don't have opportunities out there for job creation. They're turning to our industry, really looking for ways to supplement income they've lost or replace income they've lost because they've lost their job completely. So that's the first thing that we've seen. We've seen this massive interest in our industry, and also as the gig economy trend is rising and scaling up globally, but also here in South Africa, there is another lever that's driving a lot of the young folk to looking at our industry as an income source. With regards to funding and grants, with regards to COVID, the pandemic, my short is no. We haven't really focused on that. Member companies, other companies that have been really providing support in terms of investing in digital, social, all of those things, so that we can create that enabling environment for our distributors to be able to flourish at a time when COVID was very limiting and restrictive in terms of business activity. Impact of looting, at this stage, we in charge, you can correct me if I'm wrong, as Secretariat, but I believe there has been minimal impact on member companies and distributors. Granted, it's been difficult, but the greater impact has been COVID rather than on specific to looting. So that's my short response to that. In terms of success rate, failure rate, you've seen some of the statistics whereby we're now seeing that 22% of those 850,000 entrepreneurs are now doing this on a full-time basis. So we're seeing more and more people deriving far greater income from this opportunity and starting to prioritize this as their career of choice or their primary income source. So this is something that's migrating and starting to accelerate, and we're seeing a far more significant success rate increasing, insofar as that is concerned. Engagement level of Ponzi schemes with regards to the education of the distributors. We have very robust distribution education campaign programs and skills development programs. Because remember, these are ordinary South Africans, many of whom are coming from underprivileged communities, who, for instance, may need better communication skills, financial, bookkeeping skills, speaking skills, presentation skills. This is what the value that the member companies, when I talk about an enabling environment, I'm referring to those skills development initiatives that we do and bring for free to those distributors and independent entrepreneurs so that they can be successful in what they do. And the last question I'll cover very quickly is Parliament's role. Again, it's about co-creation. We need to better understand the programs that you've got to see what the opportunities are, where the synergies lie, so that we can then partner and co-create and figure out how we can accelerate both the agendas, which ultimately is the common objective for all of us. So I thank you once again on behalf of the DSA, and certainly look forward to an opportunity for further engagement. And your point with regards to the presentation being shared earlier is noted. However, I will just share that I believe that our secretariat will provide the presentation on Monday as per requested, but we will endeavor to make sure we do better with regard to that. Back to you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you
so much. Honourable members, we have come to the end of our discussion with DSA. Mine is to thank them and forgive us for having taken long, and not that we didn't recognize or support your initiative. It's because of this COVID-19, it has disrupted all our growth programs. Let me concretize that we are a portfolio committee with hard at work, and we promise that we engage with the document, and if it needs to be that we call you, we will do so. We really appreciate everything, and also to accept that you are human beings, we have got human error. So in future, the two parties will have to make sure that our plan goes through. Thank you so much with your team. Until we meet again.
Thank you. We
will meet on the platform.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The King, can you flag the agenda again for me, please? Thanks. The next item is briefing by the National Cooperatives Association of South Africa on the role of the association in resuscitating and formalization of cooperatives movement. My predecessor will be happy today to hear that we have called this association because he has passing the Kuma cooperatives and the same with the current person. So, as I welcomed you in my opening remarks, I will now invite the chair, the one who's leading the team, to quickly introduce your team as well as lead us on this item. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Matthew Mponzo.
Proceeded, Chief.
My name is Matthew Mponzo, the Secretary General of the National Cooperative Association of South Africa. With me on the platform is the President of the Association, Zakaria Mandela, and Deputy President Takalani Mingan. The National Cooperative Association of South Africa, NCASA, is a sector-based organization who assists with the establishment of sectors, for example, the agri-sector, the agricultural sector and its value chain and its ecosystem. Burial society sector, financial sector, the housing sector.
Can you show us the presentation? Request to be the code so that you can flip your presentation.
Okay.
King, I'm saying King must make you a code so that you can be able to share the presentation with us on the screen.
The presentation is going to be done by the president. I'm just doing an introduction.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Proceed, sir.
Yeah. Then the housing sector, the worker sector, which is most important, one of the sectors that we are assisting to establish in the country. Because the issue of unemployment is like a runaway train that is headed for disaster in the country. So it is important for us to make means to establish the workers' protest. So the presentation is going to be done by, like I said, the president of the association. And for now, I will hand over to Ms. Zakaria. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary General. King, can you make the president the host so that he can share with us his presentation on the screen?
Yes, Chairperson, I've done it.
Okay, President, can you share?
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I'm still trying to grapple with IT so that then I can be easily to be able to do this. I don't know if you'll be able to see it on the other side, but on my side, the presentation is fine. Mr. King, are you able to pick it up from the other side for the portfolio committee?
We don't see anything.
No, it's not visible. You can start it again.